Good afternoon, everyone. Afternoon. It's a blessed day, no? And just want to thank Pastor TJ for giving me the privilege to serve in this church. Actually, one fact na wala ni share ni Pastor TJ is that I'm not a full-time pastor, no. Actually, I'm a full-time employee in Accenture. One of the reasons that I just want to mention that is because one of the main things na ginapursue na ko and ginatry na ko og encourage to all the people that I meet and I share the gospel to and I disciple is that you don't have to be a full-time worker to be full-time in God. That you can actually have a full-time job and yet have a full-time heart for the Lord. So I'm here to just serve both in my workplace and here in church. And I would like to encourage everyone, all the young adults, no, here, if you're not yet joining a ministry, haven't joined yet the ministry or haven't been a disciple or is not joining a discipleship group, please let us know. We're more than willing to meet you halfway, no matter what schedule you have. I used to hold Bible studies 10 p.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning, no? Because the reality is, here in IT Park, we have different schedules already for different people. And so the church needs to adjust. The church needs to meet these people, huh, halfway and agree on times, no matter how different it is that we're used to. Please do let us know if you're interested to join us, and we're more than willing to be there for you. All right, praise God. Before we begin, can we just all stand and open our Bibles to Psalm 112? And as we rise up and give honor to God's word, let us also all together read this entire psalm. Let's begin with verse 1. Ready? Begin. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. So I'll come before the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you in faith, as we come to you as your church, we ask God that you would be here in our midst. That Lord, you would minister unto us, O God, that you would speak to us, Lord, through your servant. That you would open our hearts, O God, to your word, to your message, to your leading this morning, this evening, O God. Our prayer, Lord, is that we will not leave this place unchanged, but Lord, that you would mold our hearts, O God, into hearts that are ready to obey you and to serve you and to worship you, O Lord. We thank you for this evening, O God, and whatever you will do and whatever you will accomplish in us, all glory belongs to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please take your seats. When I got married to my lovely wife, Dawn, last December of 2020, I started getting advice on marriage, no, left and right, as new couples or newly married people do. Some people advised that I should start planning on getting a house or a car. Other people encouraged us to travel while we were still young. Some of my wiser friends, though, advised that I should start doing exercise as regularly as possible, especially since Don is such a great cook and gaining weight might become a daily struggle. So as you can see, I'm losing that struggle. Other people, though, also started throwing the word stability at me. For my parents and in-laws, they used the word stability in the context of finances. So financial stability. No? In my workplace, they emphasized mental stability and emotional stability. But it was only because of recent events like the pandemic and Typhoon Odette and a study on Psalm 112 that I finally got to understand what stability really means. Which is why I want to share with you today this sermon that I've entitled, The Stable Man. And today we'll learn from God's Word what stability means and what a stable man or woman, married or not, really looks like. But before we begin studying the verses, allow me to share with you a quick background on Psalm 112. Psalm 112 is what is considered a wisdom psalm. What this means is that this is a psalm that teaches us how to cultivate a long-term mindset, how to fix our hearts and minds on what is truly ultimate rather than living for short-term gain. Psalm 112 also follows an acrostic pattern, which means that after the initial praise the Lord, it then continues with the first word of each line, which begins with the letter of every letter in the Hebrew alphabet. In fact, Psalm 112 actually goes together with Psalm 111. And last Sunday, Pastor TJ preached on Psalm 110. Now, Psalm 111 is actually where the acrostic pattern begins. And though we didn't read Psalm 111, we will be referring to it as we study Psalm 112. Now, we can divide Psalm 112 into three parts. And this is where I will be sharing with you on this psalm. First, the attributes of a stable man. Second, the blessings of a stable man. And finally, the conduct or the character of a stable man. So as we begin in verse 1, we see that this is where the psalmist first tells us of the attributes of a stable man. First, we can see that he is a man who remembers. Secondly, that he is a man who reveres. And finally, he is a man who obeys. Now in verse 1, this begins with the familiar praise the Lord, which in the original Hebrew is the word hallelujah. And we are quite familiar with that term. A couple of weeks ago, during our music team plenary, Pastor Jojo shared to us what hallelujah means and that halal means to praise and glorify. Well, Yah is a shortened form of the Hebrew name of the Lord, which is Yahweh. But what does it mean to praise the Lord? More importantly, how do we actually praise the Lord? Now, studying the scriptures, we find that there are actually many ways to praise the Lord. It could mean proclaiming the glories of God, celebrating His goodness and mercies, or rejoicing together as a church in hymns and song. But if we consider Psalm 111, perhaps what is most relevant to the context is that praising the Lord means remembering who God is and what He has done. When we look at Psalm 111, the psalmist testifies of the many attributes and works of God. He proclaims God's faithfulness unto His people and declares that God is righteous and just. Not only that, but He also brings salvation, redemption to His people. And so from this, we can see that a stable man is a man who continues to bring to mind the character, the deeds, and the promises of God. Have we ever considered, church, that the reason why we often become anxious is because we barely know God? That the reason why we keep doubting and questioning God is that we refuse to look back and recognize the countless times that God was there for us. And so, church, allow me to make this statement. Our stability begins with the right knowledge of God and a constant remembrance of His faithfulness. Another attribute that we find here is that a stable man is a man who reveres God. For the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." Now, this fear that the psalmist talks about is not one of abject terror. It's not one of needless dread or horror. But to fear the Lord is to hold Him in reverence and awe. To fear the Lord is to live our lives in recognition of His omnipotence, of His omnipresence, of His omniscience. Church, did you know that a lot of Christians today do not truly fear the Lord? That a lot of professing Christians are actually practical atheists. I once attended a short seminar on business as missions, and the speaker was sharing how it was important to maintain integrity, especially while conducting business transactions, and how it was more important to honor the Lord than gaining profit. After the talk, a Christian businesswoman who I was sharing the table with expressed her frustration. She said, "Imposible man nga magtinarong sa negosyo, labi na sa BIR. Kinahanglan jud ka muhatag og under the table, kay kung dili, maalkansi ka sa imong negosyo, kay dugay kaayo i-release ang permits." In all honesty, I don't know what it is and what a businessman or woman goes through in order to have their business going. But this got me thinking. Is it really okay to compromise our testimony as Christians? Is it really so impossible to practice honesty and integrity today? Blaming other people, blaming the government for all our troubles? Can we both believe in God who is all-knowing and yet sin so openly to Him? Is our belief in God's omnipotence so weak that we can easily resort to trusting in our own understanding, in our own wisdom, in our own strength? Is this where we have resorted to as followers of God? The answer to those questions can be disheartening. Sadly, how people live their lives today exposes how much they genuinely fear God. And so for us, church, we need to evaluate our lives. We need to evaluate how much we truly revere God, how much we truly fear Him, how much we are truly in awe of Him. This reverence is also directly related to the third attribute, which we see in verse 1. And that is, a stable man is a man who obeys. The psalmist expresses that this blessed man who fears the Lord also delights in His commandments. At the same time, church, notice the emphasis on the magnitude of the delight that this man has for God's commandments. What word does he use? He uses the word greatly, which in the Hebrew is the word me'ode. This word can be translated as with much abundance or with much force. This means that the man is not simply fascinated by God and His commandments, but he is spurred to action because of it. Not only is there excitement as he receives instruction, but there is pure joy in obeying them. If we go to John 15, 9 to 11, John takes this even a step further, for not only can we experience joy in obedience, but that we abide in the love of Christ when we do. We also remember what Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so for a man who greatly delights in the commandments of God, it also reveals the great love he has for him. Church, a stable man is therefore a man who loves God and obeys him. Moving on from verse 1, we find the blessings of a stable man. And we see three blessings in abundance. First, an abundance in his relationships. Second, an abundance in contentment. And finally, an abundance in virtue. Now in verse 2, the psalmist first declares that the man's offering will be mighty in the land, and that the generation of the upright will be blessed. Here, the psalmist clearly pronounces blessing on this man's family, on his descendants. But we can also see God himself pronouncing blessing upon the family of a righteous man that we know, a man named Abraham. In Genesis 12, verse 2, the Lord says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." However, we see that it wasn't just the direct family of Abraham that was blessed, for many nations, including us, received the blessing. And so we can conclude, church, that when a man fears the Lord and delights in God's commandments, he will bless his family and others as well. The psalmist also pronounces that the blessing will be one of might. But this is not simply about physical strength. The psalmist does not expound what this strength is, but from other parts of Scripture, we know that a strong man, a man with strength, is a man who has strong dependence on God and His strength. Molerus notes this: "If anyone should desire to leave behind a flourishing posterity, let him not think to accomplish it by accumulating heaps of gold and silver and leaving them behind him, but by rightly recognizing God and serving Him, and commending his children to the guardianship and protection of God." Secondly, the blessings of a stable or a blessed man is one of abundance in contentment, which is what we see in verse 3. Now you may say, "But that's not what the verse says, brother. What does it say?" It says, "Wealth and riches are in his house." Are you now excited that wealth and riches will be in your house if you follow God? To say that, gee, no, you will become rich if you come to church, if you attend Bible studies. But is that what it says? I'll be the first one to say, sorry, that that's not what the passage is saying. In fact, I should say that the earthly wealth and riches cannot even account to the kind of wealth and riches that the psalmist is actually speaking of here. It doesn't account for even 1%. Now, how do we know that? Because in the culture and context of ancient Israel, that's based on agriculture, wealth and riches and stability just means good crops, a well-fed family, and a stable farm. That's it. Not the luxurious wealth that most of us may be thinking of. Many of the lessons and principles taught on prosperity do not teach it from the perspective of someone who is prosperous from within. The Bible says that we are to prosper even as our souls prosper. Prosperity is more than just financial abundance or having a lot of money. You can have money and no prosperity. Amen? You can have, if your marriage and other relationships are so messed up, if your mind and body and spirit is messed up and you have no peace, then you are not prospering. Prosperity is a result of salvation. Prosperity is part of our covenant with God and is the full manifestation of peace. It is not about money. It is not about wealth. It is not about influence or power. Shalom or peace means wholeness, health and healing, favor and a blessed life. True prosperity is a result of prospering on the inside. And when we look at verse 5 and even verse 9, wherein which we also see the same phrase, his righteousness endures forever, we see that the wealth and riches that this man acquires are not stockpiled. It's not amassed and hidden away, but they are given freely to those who are in need. From these actions alone, we see that this man, though he has all the wealth and all the riches, he is contented. He sees no need to be close-fisted and hoard what has been given to him, but because he remembers who God is and remembers all the kindness that God has done to him, he opens his storehouses and shares what he has. He does not fear or be anxious, for he knows that since he has God, he has everything. That, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, that is true wealth. And as he practices giving and is abundantly contented, he also becomes abundant in virtue. Verse 4 says that light dawns in the darkness for the upright. Actually, this is an image that describes God's guidance in his life. Light that dawns in the darkness. Because of this guidance that the Lord brings upon this man, he is able to practice the many virtues which we see in verses 4 and 5. It says that he practices grace, mercy, righteousness, and justice. Not only is this man prosperous from the inside to the outside, but he prospers in his character as well. Finally, church, we get to our final point. The final section of Psalm 112, which describes the conduct of a stable man. For as this man encounters adversaries and hardships, we see how he conducts himself, how he responds to them. We see the stable man's heart. and what it is truly made of. In verse 7, we are told that he is not afraid of bad news, that his heart is firm, trusting the Lord. Yesterday, during our prayer meeting, we prayed for the situation in Ukraine and Russia and the impending war between these nations. We prayed that God would prevent this war from happening as well as protect our Christian brethren in Ukraine. And so, church, we can pray with passion and we can pray and cry out to the Lord. But we also know that there would still be more wars and rumors of wars. For in all truth, it is the last of the last days. The world is only getting to get worse. It is what the Bible tells us. It will only be a matter of time before we receive another bad news about another situation in another country and maybe even in our own vicinity. And the best thing, the only thing perhaps most of us can do is only pray. But let me tell you, church, that we do not need to fear. In fact, this man that the psalmist talks about is not afraid of bad news. The verse can't get more specific and more direct than that. He does not fear, for he knows and trusts in the Lord. Amen? His heart is filled with courage. Courage, church. But not earthly courage. But courage that rests in the promises of God. That is true courage. There is nothing to be afraid of for the stable man. For even if he shall experience the worst form of suffering, his soul is now with the Lord. No terror here on earth will ever take him away from God. We remember Romans 8:38-39 that says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Nothing will ever separate us for those who are in Christ Jesus. And because he believes in this and knows this is the truth, the stable man and his heart is filled with peace. There is no place for anxiety or doubt. Saint Augustine famously quoted this, "Our hearts are restless until it rests in you." Verse 8 describes this peace in two ways, that the heart is steady, it is unmoved, and that the man looks in triumph on his adversaries. What do you think that means? To look in triumph in your adversaries. Now, to look in triumph is to have peace that your adversaries have been defeated. That they will never ever be able to overtake you, nor have any power to hurt you. This peace is a peace that is experienced after a victory. Perhaps we can even call it the victor's peace. It is a kind of peace, a calmness after a long fought battle. It is a peace that a champion or a conqueror has come to know. It is the same peace that the psalmist describes as the man looks in triumph on his adversaries. And finally, because the man is filled with peace as he is filled with courage, it overflows as he shows kindness to those around him. He gives to the poor. He distributes freely. He must have been thinking, what need do I have? For I am already victorious. What do I have to acquire or hoard or keep when everything has been conquered by my master? There is but one thing to do then, to reach those who are still in need and be the channel of blessing. Truly, his righteousness endures forever. The psalm then concludes with verse 10 that contrasts the wicked man, the unstable, insecure, and vile man against the righteous and stable man. The evil man almost becomes an afterthought. No? For at the end of the psalm, he is only described as one who melts away. Nalanay lang ang kontra. Nalanay, no? Nawala. He is described as one whose desires perish. He cannot do anything, for the man he sees is stable and unmoved by the cares of this world. Unlike the righteous man, the wicked man has found no anchor, no foothold, and thus he slips away and is forgotten. The righteous man, the stable man, the righteous man clings to God. And his righteousness endures forever. And with that, church, the psalm concludes. But with that conclusion, here are a few reflections. To be a stable man, you need to begin by knowing Christ. You can only experience peace and stability in life if you are in a right standing with God. And forgiveness comes only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. You also need to deepen your relationship with God through the study of His Word and constant communication with Him through prayer. To trust Him more, you have to know Him more. Stability in life is not about money, power, or influence. Stability is about peace, about purpose, and about spiritual prosperity. Shall we bow down our heads? Father, we thank You for Your reminder this evening, O God, that stability can only be found in You. Lord, we want to be like the man that this psalmist describes. We want, Lord, to have the courage to never fear whatever bad news we hear. We want, O God, to have a heart that is always at peace, that is always overflowing with kindness. We ask, O Lord, that for those who have not yet come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they at this very moment, O Lord, would kneel in their hearts and would confess their sins. That they would repent, O Lord, and that they would turn from their wicked ways and turn to Jesus. Lord, there will be more things that will happen in this world. We know that. But for those who are in you, for those who continue to worship and honor you, who will seek you, who will know you, O God, we will not be afraid. And we will praise you. We will remember you. We will remind ourselves of who you are and what you have done for us. And what you continue to do, what we know you will do in us. We praise you and we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.